Hello and welcome to Still Any Good, the podcast where we run the risk of ruining our childhoods by revisiting fondly remembered films. My name's Christopher Webb, and with me is someone who's not like other guys. It's Robert Johnson.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how's it going?
I'm good. Yeah, a pretty surreal time for everyone.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, yeah.
You got some toilet roll?
I have. I've been panic buying toilet roll. I'm not sure what all the fuss is about. It tastes terrible.
Yeah, and the panicking doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
You just end up using more of it if you panic. It's awful.
Exactly. I do just want to get a message out there to listeners, though, before we carry on. And I just need to let them know that due to my strong personal convictions, I wish to stress that this podcast in no way endorses a belief in the occult.
But that's your own strong personal convictions, obviously.
It is, yeah.
Speaking of cults, we have a guest with us.
We do.
Nice link.
All the way from Lewisham. We have the comedian and fantastic podcaster, Michael Legg.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, New Zealand.
Welcome to New Zealand. Now, you're not a stranger to New Zealand, are you? You've been here before.
I've been to New Zealand once. I was there, but you know, for quite a long time. I was there for a month. That's quite a long time, isn't it?
Ooh. You did the comedy festival.
Yeah, I was at the comedy festival and I was in Auckland for 3 weeks of that month and Wellington for 1 week. I'll be honest with you, because of the timing of the show that I was doing every night, I saw nothing of New Zealand. Nothing. All I can say about Auckland is it's a lovely street.
Hopefully, Michael, you saw the sweaty, smiling faces of all our punters in the audience enjoying your show.
I tell you what, there are no bad people in New Zealand. It actually started to get on my nerves. Everyone was kind and respectful. I didn't see any cynicism, and I started to dislike the people of New Zealand after a while. What cult am I in?
Kind of Antipodean Wicker Man when you were here.
Yeah, someone actually said to me, we don't actually have racism here.
Oh, we do.
Jesus Christ.
We do.
Don't let Taika Waititi hear you say that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in a phenomenally good mood all of a sudden, I have to say.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been in my spare room in, I don't know, years. And guess what I found? Hand gel.
Oh.
Wow.
Hand gel in my spare room. Gold, gold, gold.
Looks like you're settling in for a nice cozy period of some self-isolation.
Yeah. I could get any woman I want now. And then I've got hand gel.
It's a vintage.
God, it's very blue.
It's very blue. That's the flavour I go for, blue.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm delighted. I've got hand gel.
Yeah, and they're in your dressing gown. You're like a sort of sanitary Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, exactly. I'm ready. Where's the hot tub? I've got hand gel.
I was going to say sort of a Supreme Leader Snoke vibe from Last Jedi. Sort of.
Yeah. Did he hang around in his robe?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah,
I guess he did.
In his spare room, yeah.
Yeah. Good for him. I like that confidence because the man wasn't a looker, you know, so I relate to this.
But he had charisma.
So, being our guest, Michael, it is your choice. So what have you chosen for tonight?
The motion picture that I remember and would like to remember fondly, we'll see if we do remember it fondly, is a film from 1983. It is Michael Jackson's Thriller.
I have something I want to tell you. I'm not like other guys.
So, what are we gonna do now?
Get away!
I'll take you.
It's not a very long film, but it is quite a long music video.
It's a short film, it counts.
It's a short. I don't know if you guys recall the night that it was broadcast, because it was sort of worldwide broadcast on TV. Wherever you were in the world, at 11 o'clock at night somewhere.
Yep.
You got the Michael Jackson Thriller video.
Wow.
And freaking hell. It felt like one of those moments where your world changed again. It was brilliant. Yeah, I watched it this morning and I still kind of really like it. I mean, you really have to separate the artist from the art. And I mean that on a couple of levels. Why, not just Michael.
Why? Are there some issues with Vincent Price?
I hope not. Although probably.
But very much like you, I remember watching it the first time as well. I was allowed to stay up until, God, it was about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. It was on the tube.
Yeah, it was something like that. You're right.
Jules Holland and Leslie Ash turned up and they introduced it. And I remember it very, very clearly. It was great. It was such an event.
Yeah, I mean, it was the thing that everyone talked about in school. You know, and the few people that hadn't seen it obviously were bullied mercilessly.
Yeah, yeah.
And still are. Even if they caught up and seen it, it doesn't matter. You didn't see it on the night. You're a turd.
Quite rightly so. So, Rob, you were, I think, one when this came out. So you probably don't have the same memories. You were two.
But I do remember watching it with my older brother when I must have been about 5 or 6 years old and watching the full 14 minutes and being utterly terrified when, you know, he turns into the werewolf, but he looks like a werecat, let's face it.
It's a cat. It's completely a cat.
He looks like a fucking cat.
It looks like my cat. It looks like Groucho, yeah.
He's a very scary cat, but he's a cat. And then, yeah, being haunted by the skeletal zombie face as well. Just being absolutely terrified by it.
It's full of twists, that very short movie. Because he's a guy in love, and then he wants to explain to his girlfriend he's not like any other guy.
We know that.
Because he's a werewolf.
Yeah.
But then there's a twist, another twist, the second twist of the movie. They're just watching the movie. They're just, it's not real, ha.
Yeah.
Walks home. Turns out he's also, and I don't know how you can do this. I mean, I'm sure there's, I don't know how you can be a werewolf, to be fair. But I don't know how you can suddenly be a zombie. But it doesn't matter. I'm glad he's a zombie in that scene because the dance scene would have been awful. So I'm glad he turns out to be a zombie. And then another twist, she was having a dream. The whole thing was a dream. And then there's another twist. He is a werewolf.
Yeah.
Bye. And that's, and that's the end of the movie.
That's 14 minutes. That's amazing.
It's really a lot gets packed in.
Yeah.
So basically, I think she has 4 chances to die.
Yeah.
That poor woman didn't have a fucking hope.
But it's a great reveal, isn't it? That you're watching that sort of little movie in a movie bit.
Amazing. Yeah, it's a John Landis movie, by the way. It's Landis movie. Yeah, yeah. In all John Landis movies, he has a little flourish. You know, like Hitchcock has a cameo. That's his little flourish. Mm. John Landis has the phrase, see you next Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And obviously we know that comes from see you next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But because of where it's placed in Thriller, it's a real shame they didn't go with see you next Tuesday. Because it is literally, as Michael Jackson stands up and walks out of the cinema, it would have been really good.
It would have been great.
That would have been a great one.
I have to say that the bit that I was gripped by this, and the bit that kind of just made me chuckle and sort of threw me out a little bit was just before he transforms into the werewolf in the first part, he goes, as he's transforming, he goes, ow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
he
does this sort of little, ow!
Yeah. And even when he goes, go away! Who did that voice, Michael? Because he did not do that voice.
No.
Even when they tried to use some sort of weird sound echoey machine.
Yeah.
No, we can't get it right. No. We'll have to get someone else in. Just go away.
Because in the making of video, which I watched again in preparation for this, because we like to do our homework, they show him rehearsing when he's changing into a werewolf, and they say, now, Michael, you need to scream in pain. You need to really be in agony to make it sound like a werewolf. And he's just sort of going,
I'm turning into a kitten.
No, it's a werewolf.
Well, because apparently John Landis was really, he wanted to show Michael Jackson actually being virile in this and actually having a bit of kind of machismo and sex appeal. And so he was really coaching him to be kind of like, be sexy. And the reason that they ended up hiring Ola Ray, who's the Playboy Playmate of the Month in 1980, was because she absolutely totally had the hots for Michael Jackson.
Right.
Apparently, they tried to get Jennifer Beals of Flashdance fame, and she turned it down because they wouldn't let her do it in leg warmers and a leotard.
The welder would have caused awful damage to Michael Jackson's hair.
Yeah, but apparently Michael Jackson was asking these really, like, they said sort of 12-year-old kind of level questions about sort of sex and things and, like, how do I be sexy? And it was, like, a real struggle for him.
Right.
And possibly comes through in the video.
It's so uncomfortable when he goes, I was wondering, would you be my girl?
Yeah.
Of course I will. Yeah. Uncomfortable hug that happens. Not a kiss. Yeah. An uncomfortable hug. It's a bit like if you watch, you know, the Austin Powers movies.
Mm.
every scene where he's with a lady, there must be something about Mike Myers. He clearly finds it so uncomfortable. Even though he's Austin Powers, yeah. This utter sex machine who's just shagadelic and shagtastic, any scene with a woman, he just, oh no, she touched my shoulder. That's a betrayal. I'm married.
Yeah.
It's no, you're a character, Mike. I don't care. I don't like sex and women. It's really weird. So Michael Jackson does exactly the same thing.
Something about them, and they like the masks, and they like the concealment, and they like being in character. And
something in the name.
Yeah. But, I mean, he looks kind of scary before he even transforms into the werewolf, werecat thing.
Yeah, because he's not like any other guy.
He's not like other guys, no.
Not like other guys.
He's different, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a fairground in his garden.
And he likes wearing ankle jeans and loafers and really prominent white socks. I mean,
on a much more positive note, because it's so easy to go down the road of going, he's a weirdo, only yeah. because he's a weirdo.
Yeah.
So it's not our fault. So let's not blame ourselves. I mean, he's definitely started the Michael Jackson is a weirdo stuff. He is properly freaking phenomenal in this video.
He's like, amazing.
His dance routines are amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy had a level of talent beyond sort of what we generally think of as really talented.
Yeah.
Even more so, that makes it a big shame, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. Of course, you know, the chimpanzee in the room being that he's fallen from grace somewhat.
Yeah. I guess this was crossing my mind today when watching the Thriller video. I thought, God, I'm really enjoying this. Am I allowed to enjoy it?
Am I allowed to? Yeah.
I've thought about it, and I'm probably being very naive here, but I think there's a big difference between enjoying Michael Jackson and enjoying, say, for instance, Morrissey. So Morrissey has far-right wing views,
yeah,
and he's alive, and he still says those things.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Michael Jackson is at a safe distance now, you know. He's very much joined the other dancers in the Thriller video.
Because I struggle with this with, like, Woody Allen films now, because I actually really love Woody Allen films. And,
yeah.
You know, obviously, Woody Allen's still alive. You know, he just tried to have his memoirs published recently, and the publisher sort of sacked them or something. And is it still okay to watch a Woody Allen film? Or do we have to wait for him to die?
I think, no, I don't think you have to wait for him to die. I definitely think there's a point, isn't there? And I still think Thriller is actually the safe point with Michael Jackson. Maybe getting into Bad, that's when we started to hear things about him. But maybe before that, not so much. And it's the same with Woody Allen. There's a point where, like, I saw The Sleeper when I was a kid, and I loved The Sleeper.
Yeah.
So the idea of him ruining The Sleeper, well, I don't really want to let him do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, by people going, oh, you watched The Sleeper, I would never watch that film. After the things Woody Allen did. Well, do you know what? Diane Keaton works her fucking arse off in that film. So if you're going to fuck her off, I don't think that's fair. That's my speech.
No, that's a very good point.
I don't know. I'm not making the rules.
Incidentally, do you know why that disclaimer's at the beginning? By the way, I did my homework.
Because he was a Jehovah's Witness?
I mean, they threatened to excommunicate him for dabbling in the occult. And apparently about a week before the release, he wanted the negatives burned. Because he just wanted to pull the plug on the whole thing, because the church was threatening to kick him out.
How does he sit with that then, and him wanting to buy the Elephant Man skeleton? Were Jehovah's Witness fine with that? Oh yeah, buy as many skeletons as you want. Just don't dress up as a cat.
Don't dress up as a cat and dance.
We don't like it.
But that sort of bugs me as well, because werewolves isn't really the occult. You know, if we're just splitting hairs here, you know.
It's not really the occult, and I'd say zombies aren't the occult. Just the rising of the dead. I mean, no one voodooed them. It was...
They're George Romero zombies. They're not, you know, Haitian zombies.
No, okay, yes, so. Yes, okay, yes, that's a fair point. But yeah, the zombies that I like to think of as my zombies, they're normally caused by some sort of weird chemical, aren't they, right? So, I mean, that's how I saw those zombies. I did not see any occult.
No.
As a child who was really into worshipping the devil, I was so disappointed by the end of that video. It's like, come on, they must sneak something in. No, nothing.
And as someone who's read all the Harry Potter books, I too was disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
I'm sorry there was a gap there after you mentioned Harry Potter. I don't know anything about Harry Potter. I know he's a bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bloke.
He's a bloke, right? He is. He's a bloke. I've done my research on that. Has he got a scar on his head, or have I made that up?
He has got a scar.
He's got a scar, yeah.
Oh, there you go. So another couple of things.
Lightning shaped scar, yeah.
Ah, like Bowie.
So Thriller, eh? Yep.
One thing that amused me when I watched this video on YouTube, I do have to say, there was a comment from 3 days ago just in the YouTube comments which said, who's watching this while coronavirus is still a thing?
Jesus Christ.
The answer is, you, mate.
Yeah, you are, clearly.
You clearly are. I was on a train a few weeks ago when you were allowed to be on trains in the past, and someone was playing that game, Virus, that you can, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I only discovered the game Virus 2 years ago. Like, I don't really play games at all, but
yeah.
But I really got into it, and I thought it was really, really good fun. But the idea of seeing someone playing that at this time, I went, wow, that is ballsy.
Mm.
Yeah. That is... It's a bit on the nose.
Yeah, a little bit too on the nose.
So, interesting when we talked about this, that it's a John Landis film. Because I think it is. It's not a John Landis pop video. It's a John Landis film. He's got all his usual crew in.
Yeah.
He's got Elmer Bernstein to do the music, Rick Baker on the makeup. He's got everyone that he would normally do for a feature film. And it looks like a feature film. It doesn't look like a music video. It's lit differently.
Absolutely.
It's a film.
Even the zombie dance scene actually sort of looks like, you know, the Think song from Blues Brothers.
It does.
It actually sort of looks like that. It's sort of shot the same way, even though it's a completely different scenario. So it actually feels like watching the Blues Brothers or something like that.
Yeah, very much so. And of course, his wife, Deborah Nadelman Landis, she apparently was responsible for giving Indiana Jones the, you know, Harrison Ford, the fedora and the leather jacket for Indiana Jones. And she was the one who came up with the iconic red leather jacket pants because of the way it, you know, it would stand out in those night scenes. And it also created like a vertical kind of shape because Michael Jackson, 5'7", made him seem taller. And I mean, that red leather jacket in particular, super iconic.
Absolutely. And for a very brief period of time, it didn't happen often, really rarely, but you could spot them. You would see someone in real life wearing that jacket and it would be like, oh!
You didn't quite pull it off.
It would be a bit like, you know, someone go, oh, did you see the moon landings? That's why I'm wearing this massive helmet. It doesn't suit you. It suits an astronaut.
Yeah. It's like, did you see the Kennedy assassination? That's why I've got spaghetti bolognese on my head.
That's why I'm going to head anymore. Yeah.
But it's funny you should say that because... In about 1985, when all of my mates had really nice black leather jackets and, you know, they had new model army Tippex on the back and stuff like that, I begged my mum to get me a leather jacket for my birthday. Please, please, please. So she went, oh, it's all right. I know a guy on the market. I'll get you one. But unfortunately, the one I got was kind of a grey and black version of the Thriller leather jacket.
Oh.
A grey version.
Yeah.
A grey version of Thriller.
Grey, not red, grey and black.
Oh, my God. This will be like a Thriller jacket you would wear to a funeral.
It's a bit Alan Partridge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Good on you, mate.
Yeah. Good on you. Well, Michael Jackson loved his mum too.
I imagine so.
Not so much his dad, but...
Not his dad.
He had his dad thrown off the set.
Yeah. Is his dad still alive?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That was too much of a pop quiz, wasn't it?
Doesn't deserve to be, by the sounds of things. I don't know if he is. Awful, awful human by all accounts.
Yeah, he wasn't a great fella.
And like you said, Chris, John Landis said that he was thrown off the set.
Yeah, he refused to leave, so they got the police to throw him off the set, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Had some quite famous visitors to the set. Marlon Brando visited.
Oh, really?
Gave Michael Jackson some acting tips, yeah. Rock Hudson visited.
Rock Hudson visited the set of Thriller.
He did, yeah.
Fucking hell. What a weird little world, right?
Yeah.
I read on IMDb, so it must be true, that when it cuts to the cinema scene and Michael Jackson and Ola Ray are sat there, the man sitting next to Ola Ray is Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Oh, I paused it, and it definitely isn't.
Oh, right, okay.
It's like the Elvis thing. He looks more like Ernie Wise, the bloke sitting next to him.
That is why it's in IMDb, so people will go and check.
Yeah.
That was 20 seconds of your life you wasted.
Can you imagine if the camera had pulled out a little bit and you just saw Charlton Heston?
Yeah, just
next to Ola Ray.
Sitting there with his arms folded, looking really grumpy.
She tries to grab the popcorn from Charlton Heston. He says, from my cold dead hands. But I thought it was cute when it cuts to them in the in the movie theater because they have matching Jerry curls. It's really, it's really cute.
They look nice as a couple. They just, I mean, the lack of chemistry is phenomenal. I don't think that's completely down to her. Yeah, but they look cute.
They do. I mean, apparently she was really, she was well into him in real life, and he was, you know, a little bit more sheepish. But there's a, it's really sad actually, because she basically didn't go off onto doing much more acting after this. She played a Playboy playmate in Beverly Hills Cop 2 or 3 or something.
She was a Playboy playmate, wasn't she?
She was a Playboy playmate too, and then went on to play one in a movie. And she ended up suing Michael Jackson for uncollected royalties. John Landis ended up suing Michael Jackson for uncollected royalties. He said he was done out of 4 years of royalties. Quite a sad coda.
Got messy.
Hmm.
Well, of course, right after this, am I right in this? Maybe John Landis did one other movie after that, but then he did the Twilight Zone movie. Which...
Yeah, this was the same year as the Twilight Zone. So I think the Twilight Zone he may have done just before this.
It was the same year. Yeah.
Twilight Zone was 83 as well.
Okay.
This was the same year as Trading Places. I know that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because then John Landis went to court for about 18 months. I think the next one he did was Into the Night, which is about 1985 or 1986. So all that time he was in court.
Right.
It was all downhill, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I can't really think of anything that he's done since. And it's a massive shame because his run of films up till then were great. You know, really good. Trading Places is a classic.
Yeah, the only ones I can remember after that, he did Three Amigos, which is great. And I think Coming to America.
Oh, of course.
Oh, he did Three Amigos after that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is... You're right, that's absolutely superb. That's a great movie.
But since then, Beverly Hills Cop 3?
Oh.
The one scene in Three Amigos where... what's his name who isn't very popular? Chevy Chase, that's the guy. When he's asked to play the piano... And he goes, oh, no, 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 while walking towards the piano. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, we've talked about doing that for this podcast, haven't we, Chris, many times?
We have. We are going to do a Steve Martin scene anyway. But yeah, that one is clearly still good. So it's out of the running, unfortunately.
See, I mean, as I'm a person from Northern Ireland, I was slightly obsessed over the last few weeks, knowing that Steve Martin was going to be in Belfast because Steve Martin and Martin Short were touring the UK. I couldn't stop thinking about it, thinking about streets in Belfast and going, Steve Martin's going to be like in a car going up the Ormore Road in Belfast. That is mental. And then he's going to be playing like the Odyssey Arena in, or whatever it's called there, in Belfast. That's mad. He's going to be like, he's going to be really near like the little pub that's in there. And I've been to that little pub loads of times.
Steve
Martin's going to be really near. And then... they cancelled the gig and all on the night. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it all night. I thought, Steve Martin's in Belfast doing nothing. he's just in Belfast for no reason.
Just at a pub with Martin Short somewhere.
He's just there doing absolutely sod all, like I used to.
They were probably just singing My Little Buttercup in the hotel bar, weren't they?
I would hope so.
What do we think of Vincent Price's little contribution to this?
I think it's superb.
It's great.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. And practically every word of it is hilarious.
Yeah.
What's it? Those whoever shall be found without the soul for getting down. I mean, brilliant. Sorry, my impression of Vincent Price is very close to my impression of Johnny Rotten. What? You've been cheated.
I think the Vincent Price's use of the word funk is just wonderful. Because at that time, I didn't know funk meant smelly. I didn't know it meant stinking. So it's such a brilliant bit. The funk of 40,000 years. It's wonderful.
He does rhyme neighborhood with blood, though, which...
And y'all's neighborhood. Which is a phrase I'm sure Vincent Price used a lot in his life. Y'all. Amazing.
Of course, and then a year later, he'd be starring with Kenny Everett and Pamela Stevenson in Bloodbath at the House of Death.
But oh my God.
From the sublime to the ridiculous there.
I mean, that movie, I mean, I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened in it. But I do remember it being really important that I had to see it.
Yeah.
But I have no... I have a recollection of getting the video and no recollection at all of the film.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I saw it at the same time. Yeah, most definitely.
He's a very important man to us, it's Kenny Emmett.
So, this is the time we normally run through the plot, but we've kind of done that, haven't we? So,
well, the plot is complex and simple at the same time. And in as much as it's not complex, it's just busy. Never really stops for a second.
Thinly veiled metaphor for sexuality.
There's a lot of that, which of course is very confusing when you know Michael Jackson.
I think it was confusing for him too.
Probably. I can thrill you more than any ghoul could ever dare try. I mean, he's comparing himself already to ghouls.
I think if he had the option, he probably would have rather have just beat it than...
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Another, I guess, very confusing video, Beat It. You know, it's... I believe that Michael Jackson is much more a traditional, old-fashioned romantic lead than I believe he's the leader of a gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tried that a couple of times, though.
Yeah, Bad is hilarious. Bad was Scorsese, wasn't it?
It was Scorsese, yeah.
Fucking insane.
Great video, though. It's a great video.
It is a great video, but it's mad. Mm. I mean, as long as you go, well, this is just stupid, it's great. Anyone could beat up Michael Jackson. Anyone. Anyone on the planet. Give Michael Jackson a gun, you're still going to get him.
He's fast, though. He's quick. Yeah. He's quick.
Because the Beat It video, it's West Side Story, but just with boys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which
is an interesting concept in the early 80s.
Bad is kind of similar, though, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but, I mean, except they're running around what looks like a subway station, but also sort of looks like a toilet. So it looks just like a load of men running around in a toilet.
Yeah, and they're being a bit naughty. Yeah. They're like pulling the air vent off the wall, which is a bit rude, and sort of going, quite a lot. Yeah. Which I don't know if that's what gangs do. If that's okay, then I'm not frightened of them anymore.
There's certainly a bit too much shamoning going on.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess we can't leave this without talking about the massive legacy that Thriller left, even if you consider sort of Barack and Michelle Obama dancing to it with kids at the White House Halloween event in 2006.
This morning, watching the video was great, but listening to the song was like, God, it's really freaking good.
It's amazing, yeah. When those bass lines sort of kick in when they're coming out of the theatre, I mean,
Considering he's a pop star, it's really properly mad. Like, it's such a mad record. Like, the Vincent Price part, that's only part of it. Even the rest of it is mad. But to add Vincent Price in there, you know, saying y'all's neighbourhood, just every part of it is mental. So there's no lack of invention there. That is a properly inventive pop song. And, you know, he was the king of pop, but pretty much, I think Bad included, I mean, nothing comes close to this.
Yeah. It's funny to think it was the seventh single from the album. It was
incredible.
And the third video, they weren't even going to do it because they thought Thriller had sort of run its course by the time they went to make this video. It was nearly didn't happen, really. And, you know, I mean, it sort of cemented the music video as a thing, as a proper thing.
As an event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And clearly there'd never been a video like this before. And I don't think there's been one since. It's so unique. Just the way that the song is presented in the video, they break up the song. They sing all the three. It's not in the same order as the song itself if you were to listen to the single. You know, the chorus appears at the end. It doesn't split the verses like it does. They actually miss out one of the verses. The one where he sings about Mike Reed and the Masquerade or whatever. There's that bit in the middle that I can never understand the lyrics. And there's bits where the song doesn't appear at all. And I can't think of any video at all that's ever done that.
Yeah, of course, because there's, isn't it Elmer Bernstein doing...
he does the scary music,
Scary music by Elmer Bernstein.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's a proper production, right?
As I was listening to it, though, I remember I always used to think when I was a kid that he was saying, it's a Phyllis Diller night.
Yes, I believe I used to do that as well.
Yeah.
And it's still fun to think that.
It's a Phyllis Diller night. It really sounds like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to use that. That's fine. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is fine. It is fine to think that, yeah. And you're right. I mean, after this video, you're right what you said, Chris. I mean, event videos happened more and more after this, but it never got to that level. Like, stuff like Madonna's Justify My Love. I mean, that was... that got proper adverts on Channel 4. We're going to be playing this video. It's going to be on
June 9.
And so, you know, it was a really big deal. But, you know, you couldn't compete with Thriller. Firstly, the length of Thriller, the production values of Thriller.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sure in 89, Madonna's Bum was great. But compared to how we all felt, because we hadn't seen anything like it before. And I guess it got me at the right age because I was starting to enjoy John Landis movies. I was really enjoying, really loved American Werewolf from London. And I was really enjoying all horror movies. So it got me at the right time. And those big event videos happened and it didn't quite come close.
I did a bit of looking around because Thriller was in the top 10 because it only got to number 10 in the charts in the UK.
Oh, that's crazy.
So I looked at the top 10 around about that time and compared it with other pop videos that were around then just to see, you know, how much of a game changer it was. And number one was Uptown Girl by Billy Joel, which I think is just some men dancing in a garage.
And also a phenomenally shit song. I mean, just a stinker.
It's one of those, like, I Just Called to Say I Love You, which is their biggest hit, but possibly the lowest quality they've done.
Yes.
The other big hit at the time was Cry Just a Little Bit by Shakin' Stevens.
Well, I mean, that's a classic and a great video.
What is the video? I didn't research the video.
I can only imagine it's a middle-aged man hugging some grannies in the high street, like all his other videos.
Dancing with his denim jacket on, yeah.
In its own way, terrifying.
Yeah. The other one in the top 10 that time was Love Cats. So that got a higher chart position than Thriller.
Love Cats did better than Thriller.
Yeah.
Now that's the kind of fun fact I can share.
There you go.
I like that fun fact.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which has got quite a good video, but it is just blokes getting pissed in a house dressed as cats.
A bit like the Thriller video.
A bit like the Thriller video,
yeah.
Yeah.
So in comparison with what else was in the charts at the time, again, this video was a mile apart from anything that had been done before.
Oh, completely. Completely.
And Michael Jackson, of course, tried and failed to sort of outdo this, didn't he? We've talked about Bad. You know, of course, there's sort of like Remember the Time with Eddie Murphy as a pharaoh. And John Landis would go on to direct the Black or White video with, you know, one of the first uses of morphing. And
oh, yeah.
Have you seen the Ghosts video?
Oh, God.
Because that's the one where he really tried to outdo Thriller. It's another horror video.
It was boring.
Well, it goes on for about 45 minutes, and the song's terrible.
And then even Moonwalker, the movie, you know, which is essentially just one big music video, which is...
Oh, it's insane.
And his 3D movie, the Epcot Center in Florida, which I saw like something like 5 times when I was there. I saw it 5 times because it was so shit. I had to go and watch it again and again and again. It was like,
is that Captain Io or whatever it's called? Is that the one?
Yes, that's it. It was so awful.
I think Stephen King wrote that.
He had a wacky, like, alien friend. It was like, oh, for fuck's sake. God, it was awful. Yeah, terrible.
And I think, somebody really big directed that, like Coppola or somebody directed that. It's a very strange thing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Why not?
Probably. Yeah, John Ford. Yeah.
David Lynch.
That would be good.
Now
yeah,
that would be.
That's why we wanted the Elephant Man's bones.
That sounds to me like that would be. Why could that not happen?
It would.
If we are going to go through his catalogue of videos, I think it's not strictly one of his videos, but I think it is probably my second favourite Michael Jackson visual after Thriller, which is his performance of Earth Song at the Brits.
Oh, yeah.
When Jarvis Cocker
got his arse out, yeah.
And waggled his arse. That is pretty amazing. I mean, and how seriously it was taken the next day.
What, he got arrested for it?
Well, like, yeah, he got arrested. Didn't, I might be wrong in this, but I think Bob Mortimer initially offered to represent Jarvis Cocker.
He
and then when
did.
He saw Michael Jackson's lawyers, he went, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because I do remember that, because the introduction to Michael Jackson coming on an Earth song, Bob Geldof did. And I think Jackson had written the introduction for Geldof to say, and it's all this, angels weep when he moves on the stage. So it was incredibly pompous from the beginning. And the whole performance was him touching sick children and curing them and things like that.
And making them feel
worse.
It
rightly deserved Jarvis Cocker's bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So those are my top two Michael Jackson videos, Thriller and then that one.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I think we're probably at the stage where we can ask. I think we've talked it to its conclusion. Michael Legg, is the Thriller video still any good?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I would understand anyone's reservations about watching it, but the way I look at it is, the very first time I watched it and loved it, I just thought he was a brilliant entertainer. And I guess part of that is, well, that's just the main thing that stuck in my head 37 years later. I think he's phenomenal in it. He's just brilliant in it. He may be a weird human being, but my God, that man can dance. So yes, it is definitely still brilliant.
Excellent. What about you, Robert?
There's a reason that it's often voted as the greatest music video of all time. The atmosphere, the visuals, it's gripping, it's scary, and you know, when the song actually kicks in, it wouldn't be anywhere near as good if the song itself wasn't as amazing as it was. And you know, the choreographed dance sequence in the middle is just still to this day just stunning, and it's fantastic. It's absolutely iconic, and people have tried and failed to replicate it, and they never will. And yeah, a shame that its massive legacy is sort of forever kind of tainted by the man behind it, but you know, it doesn't really, I guess, detract from the power of the video itself.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. I've never, and I wasn't at the time, a big Michael Jackson fan, probably still aren't, but when I saw this, it totally and utterly blew me away. I got the video out, which you probably did as well, Michael, from the video shop, that making of, and just watched it constantly.
Yeah,
and it's always stayed with me, and just watching it again, it was such a treat to watch. Just a proper good song, an amazing video, just great fun, and it was really, really enjoyable. So I'm glad we got the chance to see it again. It was good.
Yeah.
Very good choice, Michael.
Thanks, man. If you've got 14 minutes to spare, or 13 minutes to spare, I think it's a good way of spending those 13 minutes. And at the moment, in the UK, yeah, we've got loads and loads of 13 minutes to spare.
Yeah, all the best things in life can be done in 13-minute chunks.
Oh, absolutely. Really,
13? Wow. Yeah. That is impressive. So, I suppose we could probably talk about what's next time. I know we did talk about last time what we're going to be doing, and of course we've interceded with this one, but what is it next, Rob? It's your choice.
As mentioned in our last episode, it is the Kurt Russell, Sylvester Stallone classic, Tango and Cash, that we'll be looking at doing. You know, how much machismo can you and testosterone can you get on one screen, basically?
It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to doing that one.
It's going to be good.
Okay, I think we're done. Before we do the normal housekeeping, anything you want to plug, Michael?
No. Well, if anyone would like to listen to a podcast I do called Do the Right Thing, that'd be great if you listen to that. It's a really good podcast. It's pretty funny. It's a panel show. But
it is.
It's not like radio panel shows. It's way more vulgar and horrible. And you can hear me.
It really is. It is the best.
It's fantastic. It is a brilliant show.
Oh, well, thank you. So that would be lovely if people listen to that. I've got a music-based podcast called Vitriola, which is not the best. And if you were to say it was, I would have to argue with you. But I like it. It's me and Robin Ince talking eventually about music and showing our lack of memory. That's basically what the video, I don't even know what format it is. It's a podcast. That's basically what we do.
Sounds like what this was.
Exactly. But at least, you know, there's a third person to back up two people being confused. There's at least that.
I am a regular listener of Vitriola. I do enjoy it. I once had a letter read out on Vitriola. You probably don't remember that, but... Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution, because anything to fill up that time is really gratefully received. So
I asked you and Robin what your favourite Peel sessions were, because I think it was the John Peel Day episode you were doing.
Ah, right. And of course, being me and Robin, we wouldn't have been able to remember.
No, you didn't remember, no.
No, we don't.
I think I said the Wedding Present Ukrainian sessions, obviously.
If you listen to one episode of Vitriola, please make it the David Bowie tribute episode that we recorded days after he died. Robin and I are huge David Bowie fans. We pressed record and we instantly forgot the man's entire career. Just couldn't remember anything about him. Nothing. It's pathetic.
It's worthless. It's also one of the podcasts with the best theme music. It's got a great theme tune.
Yes, that's by Owen Parker. He's brilliant.
But definitely do listen to Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, Do the Right Thing is as good as it gets. It's absolutely fantastic. And there's about seven series to listen through if you haven't heard it before, so it's really good.
Yeah, and we would have been recording the fourth episode of Series 8 last night, but, you know, we're not allowed to.
No.
Thanks to the zombie apocalypse. Thanks, Michael Jackson.
Thanks, Michael, yeah.
That's his legacy. We're living in his legacy right now.
So let's wrap it up. Right. Let's do our own little bit of housekeeping. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter at StillAnyGoodPod.
Instagram, StillAnyGoodPod.
We're also on Facebook, StillAnyGood. And if you want to email us, we're on StillAnyGood@gmail.com. And please remember to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts from.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Michael. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you. It was lovely to see you guys.
Thank you so much.
Once the borders reopen and the apocalypse is over, it'll be great to have you back in New Zealand too.
Yes.
Oh, love to. Absolutely love to.
Okay, I think we are done. So it's time to say goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Let's edit all of that out, for the love of God.
This episode will be 2 minutes long.